This is the CSIS Global Health Interview Series at www.smartglobalhealth.org.
We are here today with Janet Fleischman, a senior associate with the CSIS Global Health Policy Center, where she focuses on women's global health issues, including HIV/AIDS and reproductive health. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Over the past several months, you've conducted two missions to Africa to investigate linkages between gender, AIDS, and development. Can you explain why you are looking at these linkages?
Certainly. While PEPFAR, which is the U.S. AIDS program, is not designed to fund development programs more broadly, there is a growing recognition that the U.S. AIDS funding should link with the broader development agenda, especially given the high rates of HIV infection among women and girls in many parts of sub-Saharan Africa. We at CSIS decided to launch this program to look at how HIV/AIDS funding can be better linked to aspects of the development agenda in order to address the structural and societal factors that shape women and girls' risk of HIV infection and complicate their situation once they're infected. Some of the key areas we wanted to look at in terms of these linkages are links between AIDS programs and education for girls, economic empowerment for women, reproductive health, and family planning. Those being three key areas where there's a lot of work that the U.S. government is doing more broadly, but they also have direct linkages with the situation of the AIDS epidemic as it affects women and girls. And our hope is to be working with people in the field who are doing these kinds of programs and to develop recommendations about how U.S. AIDS funding can be better leveraged to encourage more innovative programmatic responses and to place the AIDS crisis within the context of broader development.
And what kind of projects did you visit when you were there, and how are they making these linkages between AIDS and development?
I visited a range of very interesting and innovative organizations in three different countries, in South Africa, in Zambia, and in Kenya. And let me give you a sense of what some of the organizations were so you can have an idea of how these linkages can actually play out on the ground. One of them was in northern South Africa in Limpopo province, a program called IMAGE, which combines microfinance with gender and HIV training and focuses on reducing gender-based violence and expanding HIV prevention services for the women who are part of this microfinance program. And they have been able to show some very impressive results in the areas of economic well-being and women's empowerment, and especially in the reduction of intimate partner violence and HIV risk behavior. So these are not necessarily these are proxies for AIDS risk and AIDS outcomes. When you have such significant reductions in gender-based violence, you can see that that would have potentially very important implications for the AIDS situation in those areas. Another program that I visited, looking more at the education side, but also linked with economic literacy, was in KwaZulu-Natal in South Africa, which is the province that's been the hardest hit with the AIDS epidemic in the country. Prevalence rates in antenatal clinics over 40% and very high rates of teenage pregnancy, which again highlights why it's so critical to address the social and economic factors that contribute to this very alarming situation. And there's an organization there called Siaka Nensha, which is a Zulu phrase that means working with young people. And it is also linked with the Population Council, the New York-based Population Council, which has shown that factors such as poverty and orphanhood and social isolation can influence sexual behaviors and therefore HIV risk. So what they're doing is working with vulnerable high school students, both boys and girls, living in poor, peri-urban, HIV-affected communities, and trying to introduce protective strategies against HIV and early pregnancy by building economic assets. And they are enhancing these financial skills and financial literacy among these students, teaching them about budgeting, savings, accessing social grants, planning for the future, as well as teaching them about HIV/AIDS and accessing health services. So it's an effort to look at real-life economic, social, and health challenges that these young people are facing. Another program on the more directly education front was in Zambia, and it was a PEPFAR-funded program called Changes 2, which focused on strengthening pre-service training for primary school teachers about how to teach HIV/AIDS in an age-appropriate way, and to provide scholarships. In 2009, they provided 8,000 scholarships to vulnerable secondary school students, mostly girls, along with supportive mentoring about HIV/AIDS and health and other social issues. So very important ways of trying to help girls stay in school and to get the appropriate information that they need in school about some of the broader challenges they face in their lives. And on the reproductive health, family planning, integration with HIV, in Kenya, I was looking at programs that were linking family planning and reproductive health with HIV and AIDS programs. And this is a very important area, both for HIV-positive women who don't want to have more children and who have a high unmet need for contraception, as well as for HIV-positive women who want to have children as safely as possible and need the information and access to services that are required. I visited a number of health clinics in Coast Province, where Family Health International leads a consortium of groups working with the government health clinics to provide more comprehensive AIDS services, including reproductive health, to women and girls. And the idea is that when a woman enters one of these clinics, she would have access to the whole range of services that she would need. So, for example, an HIV-positive woman who's entering a comprehensive care center, which is an AIDS clinic, would have access to voluntary family planning, post-rape care if it's necessary, TB screening, treatment for sexually transmitted infections, and other health-related issues that she would need. Similarly, a woman who is entering through the antenatal clinic would have access to HIV testing services, access to prevention of mother-to-child transmission services if she is HIV positive, and other information about what her different health needs that she might be facing. And there's also a youth-friendly clinic for girls and boys so that they can get a range of appropriate information about family planning, about HIV, about other health issues that they require in a less stigmatizing environment. There's also a post-rape clinic in some of these hospitals so that women who are coming in for those services are offered family planning, they are offered HIV tests, as well as trauma counseling. So this is very much in line with what the Global Health Initiative of the Obama administration is expecting to do so that they can meet the needs of women and girls at the places where they enter the health system. And these kinds of integrated services represent a critical way to expand women's access both to HIV services and to broader health information.
So how do these areas of linkages relate to the Obama administration's plans for a new global health initiative, which is supposed to focus on women and girl-centered approach and the new PEPFAR five-year strategy?
This is a very interesting time to be looking at these issues, precisely because it's an area of intense interest now among policymakers, among PEPFAR partners in the field, because of the interest that the administration has expressed and because they have put a women and girls-centered approach at the forefront of their new global health initiative and in the new PEPFAR five-year strategy. The central goal of the global health initiative is to improve health outcomes among women and girls, both for their own sake and because of the centrality of women to the health of their families and communities. And you can see very directly that this opens the door to a broader, more comprehensive approach to meeting the needs of women and girls and to linking it with other health and development areas. Clearly, the areas of maternal and child health are going to be very important, nutrition, child health, safe water. And PEPFAR is perhaps 70% of the Global Health Initiative. And the new PEPFAR strategy has made clear that they want to continue with the five gender strategies that they had laid out before, but they want to add new emphasis on gender-based violence. And they want to also have more areas of focus looking at integration with reproductive health and education for girls. So the project that CSIS has been undertaking is, in fact, very much in line with the kinds of goals that the administration has set out in both the Global Health Initiative and the new PEPFAR strategy.
So what are some of the challenges that program implementers face when trying to promote these linkages? How can U.S. policy be more supportive?
Up to now, it's been difficult because there hasn't been a lot of clarity about how to do what PEPFAR calls wraparound programming, where PEPFAR would link with another development area. And there's clearly need to develop new policy options, to develop appropriate guidance, because these are separate funding streams, and they often that creates disincentives to try to link them together, because there are barriers that have to be overcome, and without appropriate guidance, it can get complicated. There has been a lack of clarity about what wraparound programming really entails on the ground. So it's an important moment for the Office of the Global AIDS Coordinator to make it clear how they intend to see these linkages going forward and what kind of changes that will imply for the way programs are monitored and funded. And I think it's very clearly a time to start generating concrete recommendations for implementing organizations so that they can know themselves what are the new areas that they can get involved in and what will be the expectations for those programs. How do you show AIDS outcomes when you're linking with some of these other development areas? What will be the indicators that will be required, and what will be the new outcomes that we'll be looking for? So it's going to be very important to be clear, and to be it'll be critical for an appropriate programmatic response to be having the AIDS implementers understand what it means to put the AIDS crisis in the context of a broader development program and what kind of AIDS outcomes we'll be looking for in that context.
Janet Fleischman has authored a number of reports at CSIS on smartglobalhealth.org dealing with women's health issues, and also contributes to our travel blog quite regularly. So please check back to www.smartglobalhealth.org.